are again.
Heart of the Father Ministries.
We're coming after you. With a word on revival.
Hallelujah. Talk. We've been really kind of going after this cycle that's happening in the book of Judges.
Right.
The whole idea behind doing evil, and then the fallout from that, and then there's the crying out to the Lord. The Lord comes in, brings rescue through appointing a judge. The judge comes in, rectifies the situation, peace comes into the land, and then it happens all over again.
Right.
And now we're going to take a look at Gideon, which we had talked about earlier.
Right.
In this particular series, but we're really just going to focus in hard now on kind of giving a spotlight to Gideon.
Right, and the story of Gideon really is kind of the epitome of what Judges, the book of Judges, is all about.
Mm.
Because everything is there. I mean, and the story is long enough, it occupies enough verses in the Bible to really give us a flow, and we're going to get started on it here today. But I think what we have to remember is all the wonderful things we just looked at in chapter 4 and chapter 5 with
right.
Deborah and Barak and their victory over Sisera. And then you even get this hymn of praise that is constructed off it to worship God in the victory. And you think, wow, you know, this should go on for generations and generations now, should serve him and love him and sing this song, you know, get their worship band going with
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
But what do you read in verse 1 of chapter 6?
7 years.
The land had rest for 40 years at the end of, you know, chapter 5. But
right.
Then verse 1, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord.
And here we are. Oppression comes back.
No, don't do that.
Appointed oppression. I think that's just crazy.
So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. Another oppressor comes and starts pressing down on them. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, the strongholds, which are in the mountains. They didn't even live in houses, Pete.
Wow. Come
They're
on.
They're out there in the rocks of the mountains, living in caves and carved out little things because of fear of the enemy.
So I have a little note in here that at some point in time I had put it into my digital Bible here, but they made themselves dens which are in the mountains and caves and in the strongholds. Those dens, social media.
Ooh.
I am hiding myself out in my Ooh. Perfect little world, and I allow you only to see my smiles and laughs. But in reality, I'm being pressed down,
Ooh.
And I'm being supplanted. I am being overtaken by
Ooh.
Culture. I'm being overtaken,
Ooh.
Right? By
wow.
leadership in my own country.
Man. Wow.
Wow. Yeah, I know.
Okay, so verse 3, yeah, I mean, so it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, and Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Think of this, you sow a crop,
right?
The little plants start to come up, like say corn's 3, 4, 6 inches high. These dudes come in with their chariots and their horses and their stuff, just ram over it and wreck it.
That was my observation too, because it's not like they're waiting for the crop to come to harvest.
No.
They're going to take the crop for themselves,
right.
And they're going to feed their own people.
No, not
this
even
This is
that.
Malicious,
oh,
destructive
yeah.
behavior.
Right.
Yeah.
They would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. Anybody hear, like, what's going on right now in the United States of America? I mean, doesn't it seem like this?
It does.
I mean, it's like every place you turn, you're losing another freedom over here. Another part of our culture that's good is being blasphemed and torn down over here.
Wow.
It's like, yeah, from every side.
All these shops that have been closed down, people that have earned their livings for decades, generations, some, right?
So maybe, Pete, just maybe understanding the biblical teaching about revival, maybe we're entering into a really good place.
Where
God's about to raise up a deliverer, but how does he do it?
Well, we're going to learn that.
I'm going to learn that next. It says, verse 6, so Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. There's the cycle.
Right.
They sinned. God allows the oppression, and the people cry out to God.
Yeah, but aren't we supposed to get along with everybody, Doc? Aren't we supposed to
just be nice to everybody?
To be in unity with everybody and not oppose. Don't be an opposer to other people's thoughts and ideas.
Mm.
I mean, what about being kind and gentle? And I mean, that's...
Yeah, and truth is really your truth. It's truth for you. So you, Pete Cooper, have a whole volume of truth that is Pete Cooper truth, and nobody can say that's wrong, and that's you. And then I have my David Nichols truth, and that's all great, and that's all in me. And so everybody else, the LGBT, the pedophiles, everybody, pedophiles
white
have
supremacists.
Their pedophile
yeah.
truth. You know, you can't say they're wrong.
Oh my word, Doc! Come on.
That is cultural Marxism, is what that is. They are trying to do what these Midianites were doing, intimidate us and keep us.
But we're not crying out.
Well,
I mean, there are.
I am.
I think there's pockets.
I cried out last night.
Oh, come on.
The Lord woke me up 3:30 and I started crying out.
Wow.
I mean, I am. I don't know if anybody else is. I think other people are.
I think others are.
Yeah.
I think that you may have seen some of that up in War Road.
Yeah.
This weekend.
We did. As God poured out his spirit mightily. But anyway, in verse 7, it came to pass when the children of Israel cried to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel who said to them, you're all such nice people. I love you so much, Israel. You know, don't worry. You know, these Midianites aren't so bad. Just learn to cohabitate with them and cooperate with them, because things will slowly get better.
And this prophet doesn't have a name.
He doesn't.
And it's a lowercase p.
I know.
Right? All right.
So he sends, and this is a principle for revival.
Okay.
God's people cry out. Remember, we're in the cycle, but this is a new thing here, kind of, that gets introduced into the Gideon story, is that God raises up a prophetic voice. So the people are praying, they're crying to God. God doesn't just automatically say, oh, okay, then I'm going to wipe out the Midianites, and foosh, a sweep of his hand, and the Midianites are all gone.
And we've seen that we see that moving forward, and we've actually seen it with the Egyptian army. God raises up and boom, right?
Well, okay.
Takes them out.
Right.
Not
at the Red Sea.
But right here, this is not happening.
This is a little different.
It is.
So this is what the prophet actually says.
All right.
I brought you up from Egypt and out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians that you just mentioned, Pete, out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. You're living in it now. Or you're supposed to be, but you're up in the dens and caves and holes in the earth.
Right.
How's this happen?
Fear.
Fear, and because of disobeying the Lord and entering into sinful practices.
Right.
I also said to you, this is the prophet speaking now, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice.
Mm. Man, obedience is such a...
Where are the prophets that are going to speak to America and give that message to the Christians in America?
Well, they're identified in the SD channel lineup of your cable TV.
Right.
They're a standard definition, so it's not very clear.
It's
kind of
grainy.
It's kind of grainy, but they're kind of up there. But people really don't like to go into that. They want
and click with their remote.
Yeah, you kind of got to get up in
prophet.
There.
I want a prophet to rebuke me in my sinfulness.
Oh my gosh, Doc! Oh my gosh.
Dude.
Nobody wants to hear that, do they?
No, they don't.
Holy cats, but oppression seems to change your mind.
Yes, sir.
And if you're not feeling oppressed, maybe you should ask the question why.
Maybe you should read the Inequality Act that just got passed in Congress.
Oh,
my start word. Feeling oppressed.
Oh my word.
Yeah.
I have to call my parent later.
All right. Yeah, your parent. Don't call your father or your mother.
Right.
Yeah, you can't say those words.
Yes.
Oh, my word. Okay, but now in verse 11.
Right, here we go.
The whole tenor of the story shifts. Now note, the prophetic voice comes in and lays the groundwork. In other words, cuts open the spiritual atmosphere.
Ooh.
With a prophetic word of truth. All this errors, they're swimming around as, well, we worship Astaroth, well, we worship Molech, well, the Midianites are here now, surprise, surprise. So when you're surrounded by Midianites, this isn't a hilarious time of praise and worship.
Mm.
You're in fear, you're in trembling, you're living in the dens and caves and rocks of the earth, but the prophetic voice comes and lays down the truth.
Right.
And reminds you of the truth. And out of that truth, verse 11, the angel of the Lord shows up.
Hmm.
Please bear in mind that this is a pre-incarnate appearance of none other than...
Drum roll.
Jesus.
That's right. Listener, you got that part right.
Oh, my word.
Jesus.
Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. Now, Pete, why was he threshing wheat in a winepress? Tell us about that.
I think that was fear. You're in a little
so
six...
So what is a winepress?
Well, it's a little 6x6 box where you take your harvest of grapes...
Right.
...and you dump them all in there, and then you wash your feet...
Please.
And then please wash your feet. And then they go in and they stomp out all the juices and it trickles down into mm-hmm. where they can gather
it
the
up.
Wine.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Right. So not an ideal place to thresh wheat.
No.
How did people thresh wheat in this ancient world that we're looking
well,
at here?
Well, usually on big open stones, right?
Threshing floors.
Threshing floors.
Big flat rocks.
Yeah. They didn't,
Right.
Assemble or build one. It was
right.
if you had the rock on your place,
right.
Your place was the threshing floor.
Yeah, that's where everybody had to come. Right. So he's threshing wheat in the wine press.
Right.
He's in the place of oppression.
Right.
And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, Gideon, just hang on for a while. Somehow, in some way, we just hope this is going to get better for you. Is that what the angel of the Lord said?
He does not say that.
That's what we're always saying, isn't it?
It's going to get better.
Yeah, slowly by slowly. No, the angel of the Lord, who is Jesus pre-incarnate, says to Gideon, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.
Hmm.
Did Gideon look like a mighty man of valor when that angel said that to him?
I'm pretty sure he was
probably,
covered in sweat and chaff.
I know, and he probably had, a little hand threshing wheel? He's going down on the bottom of the wine press with trying to grind out. I mean, that could not have been fun.
It's like a prison.
Right. So, but the angel of the Lord speaks... With the vision of God, he's out ahead of the situation.
Mm.
And he sees Gideon, a mighty man of valor. Listener, you got to get a hold of this today. God sees you past, present, and future.
Yes.
And in the present, he wants to speak your future to you, your destiny, by the prophetic word, by the anointed word, so that you see who you really are.
Why don't we want to see who we really are? I mean, why aren't people...
When it's like this, I do. I want to be a mighty man of valor.
Well, I do too, but when prophets come, I mean, there's so much right now, Doc, that stands against prophets as false prophets. This is the thing, is that I think that as Christians we go, well, the false prophets are cloaked in Jesus. And they're just trying to make money on the Christian perspective, and they're not really telling you the truth. When in fact, false prophets are really aligned with the kingdom of darkness.
That's right.
False prophets, and you get that really from when Ezekiel comes up against the prophets of Baal.
Right.
These are evil prophets dictating evil things.
Right.
They're not masking them in good.
Right.
They're evil. They're wicked.
So what would a false prophet look like in America in 2021?
I think he wears a blue tie.
And he's like on a news talk program on a channel we won't name?
Oh, my word. Well, yeah. And I'm not saying that all guys that wear blue ties are false prophets.
No.
But you're right. I mean, we've made an industry out of false prophets.
And so they're on there defending the killing of children.
Yes.
Abortion, sacrificing them to Molech. Wouldn't that make them a false prophet?
Slandering good people and...
defending every kind of homosexual practice and gender change and all this stuff that is against the word of God.
Right. Yeah.
Trying to prophesy the future in light of that.
Oh.
Bringing on a panel of experts.
Whoa,
Doc. Dr. Snodgrass, what do you think?
Mm.
And we collect all this, quote-unquote, wisdom from the panel,
mm-hmm.
and then the false prophet prophesies our future.
Wow.
And we sit there and take it. I'm not taking it anymore.
Well, I surely am following after you.
Well, use that instrument that you hold in your hand that you control with your thumb called the remote.
Get away.
And turn it off.
Get away.
From
Do
the
not
false
watch.
Prophet.
Yeah.
All right. So the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us?"
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Oh,
isn't that right out of...
Well...
Right?
He's doing the woe is me.
Yeah.
And we know why this has happened because these preceding verses we just read told us.
Well,
but Gideon,
five chapters
Gideon,
we've been in.
I don't know if he's not paying attention or what, but he is the chosen vessel of the Lord. Now, what the Lord has to do through declaration and... putting miracles right in front of him with
right.
the staff and so forth, we'll see in a minute.
Right.
He's got to bring him up to speed with where God has placed him, right? That's what's got to happen. Where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, "Did not the Lord bring us up from me?" That's what the prophet just said.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
To alert the people, God's getting ready to do something. "But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites."
Mm.
The orphan spirit speaking through Gideon.
Wow, Doc.
So, verse 14. "Then the Lord turned to him," and notice that it's not the angel of the Lord anymore. Now it's just the Lord, all caps.
Mm.
"Then Yahweh, Jehovah, turned to him." This is Jesus before the incarnation, okay? "And said, 'Oh, okay, Gideon, sorry, I got the wrong guy. I'll go find somebody else.'" Is that what he says?
I don't think that doesn't seem to ever happen.
"No. Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?'"
Hmm.
Can you see Gideon? He's standing in the wine press.
Yeah. He's probably itching right now.
"This might of mine." So look what he says, verse 15. "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel?" Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.
More excuses.
Okay, but this can is, I translate that for you?
Do it.
We have a wimpy family, and I'm the youngest kid. How could I do it?
Isn't that the story that
we
hear?
The word of the Lord comes.
Yeah.
Listener, what do you do when the word of the Lord comes and tells you you are about to do exploits, you are about to enter the land, that you are going to have a future and a hope, whatever it is,
right.
Embrace the word.
Right.
It took something to get Gideon. He finally did embrace it, but it took a while. It took three times. Of the angel of the Lord speaking to him. Verse 16, the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. You see Gideon? He's standing there with his little threshing wheel, his hand wheel. Like, look, it'd be great just to defeat him, but this guy's telling me I'm going to defeat him as one man. Does this kind of remind you of the Lord is super abundantly over the top, greater than we can ask or think? Remember how the Apostle Paul told us that in Philippians? Oh, my word. So then Gideon says, if I have now found favor in your sight, show me a sign that it is you who talk to me. Who would that be? The Lord God, Jehovah. Mm-hmm. This isn't an angel, a created being. This is...
Right.
The Lord God himself.
And it's a capital W, who talks with me.
Right.
Capital U.
So Gideon says, do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. Gideon understood he needed to bring an offering. Listener, when God begins to raise you up, and there are people listening to us right now that God is raising up, and he begins to bring this revelation. This revelation is high. This revelation is exalted. It's powerful. But you need to bring an offering.
Right.
There is a cost. Don't think that everybody's going to understand you. Don't think that everybody's going to say, okay, well, that's great.
Whoa.
There are going to be people that are not only going to not understand, but they are going to oppose you.
They will oppose you.
From our side.
Not only supposedly. That, your own family is going to oppose you.
Jesus said
And
that,
don't be discouraged by that.
That's right.
So what if I've missed my call? Maybe I'm jumping ahead in here. But like I know men that have received this kind of prophetic word, but it was years ago. Have I missed it? Have I missed my opportunity? Or can I repent and move into what the Lord declared over my life? Is it like a seed that gets planted in the Spirit and then starts to mature its way out into, right? I mean, or do we have to respond right away? And if we miss the opportunity, then it's just no good anymore.
Well, there is a timing in God when these kinds of things are revealed, and there are times when you got to move now or you miss it, but he's also the God of the second chance.
He sure is.
And it's always the right thing to repent and to bring your offering.
Whoa.
So the angel of the Lord said to Gideon, I will wait until you come back. So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. Then the angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock, consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now, have you noticed, Pete, whenever we're talking about revival and restoration like this, pretty soon, at some point in the story, we're going to be talking about fire.
Oh, boy.
Here we go. Fire. He's the God of fire. He consumes the sacrifice with fire. In this case, heavenly fire brought forth supernaturally.
And it's interesting, too, that Gideon knows the process.
Right.
So it isn't as though he didn't grow up under the sacrificial offerings. He obviously, Gideon, knows about them and knows that I need to do this.
But guess what? The people of Israel and probably Gideon himself haven't been doing it, because we're going to find out here.
Right.
That his dad's got this Baal altar in his backyard. And that's got to be dealt with. So, we continue on here in
22.
In verse 22, Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face."
Hmm.
This is a constant theme, Peter, through the Old Testament.
Right.
When people see the angel of the Lord, they fear they're going to die. Why? Because of the verse, several verses, one's in Exodus, "No man can see me and live."
Mm.
The angel of the Lord is that close to the Lord God, Almighty, Supreme Lord of heaven and earth, that you can't see and live. And when you study these stories out through the Old Testament, you come to this conclusion that there are two Yahwehs, even though we know the Lord our God is one.
Right.
There are two personages here.
Right.
One, you can see and live. The other, if you see him with your physical eyes, you will die.
Hmm.
And it is the way that Jesus, even before he was here in the incarnation, Jesus stood as mediator between God and man.
Isn't that something?
It's amazing.
It is.
Yeah. So, the Lord said to him, "Peace be with you, do not fear, you shall not die." So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is Peace." Mm-hmm. To this day it is still an Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, now here's how the revival gets started.
Okay.
Here we finally get to it. See, first is the preparation of the vessel, Gideon. That took something. Mighty man of valor. You're going to defeat the Midianites. All this stuff. How can he believe all this? Well, now he's starting to go, okay, I saw the angel of the Lord face to face. I talked to him and I didn't die. Here I am. Wow.
First confirmation.
Right.
Yeah.
So the angel of the Lord says to him, "Take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it." That's probably an Ashtaroth altar, or Asherah. "And build an altar to the Lord. Take away the false abomination, the false worship of the false gods, and put in the worship of the true living God."
Mm.
Here's where revival begins.
Deconstruction.
And it's right in Gideon's own house with his dad. Notice, it's interesting, you know, that God doesn't tell it first to the dad, but the dad catches on as things go along here.
Right.
Gideon is his youngest son.
Yes.
It's kind of like King
David.
Of the
smallest tribe.
Why is he always choosing these guys, these unlikely guys? That's how God does it.
Right.
So, make him offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down.
Mm.
In other words, burn these things.
Mm.
So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household,
mm-hmm.
isn't this interesting? Mm-hmm. And the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. This is called holy vandalism here. Tear down and destroy those blasphemous idols. And look what happens. When the men of the city arose early in the morning, there was the altar of Baal torn down, and the wooden image that was beside it, that's the Asherah, was cut down, and the second bull was being offered on the altar which had been built. So they said to one another, "Who has done this thing?" When they inquired and asked, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing."
Word gets out.
Word gets around.
You know, you'd think with the first sacrifice, you know, when you think about being out in the backyard, Doc, and you got a few steaks on the grill, and it's your neighbor, right?
Right.
You can smell that cooking.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Then the men of the city said to Joash, "Bring out your son that he may die." Now get this, these are Israelites. These aren't Midianites.
Right.
These are Israelites. "Bring out your son that he may die, because he has torn down the altar of Baal, and because he has cut down the wooden image, the Asherah, that was beside it." This is how backslidden the people of Israel are at this point, and how convinced they are that they have to simply keep worshiping the false gods.
Wow.
If they want to put Gideon, the one who has now been selected by God to be the deliverer, they want to put him to death.
But we see a change.
But then, all of a sudden, Joash, his dad, gets into it. Joash said to all who stood against him, "Would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let the one who would plead for him be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him plead for himself, because his altar has been torn down."
Right.
Kind of paraphrase that. A bunch of teenagers came in here and did holy vandalism, and you guys think this god has to be saved from them?
Right.
Whew.
Exactly.
Wow. "Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, 'Let Baal plead against him, because he has torn down his altar.'" Wow.
That's a t-shirt.
Man, but that's how revival starts, tearing down the altars of Baal.
Wow.
And of Asherah.
And we, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about what does that look like in 2021. Because we, you know, we say Baal and we say Asherah, but really, you take a look at the economic, which was Baal.
Right.
Asherah, which is this sexual.
Yep, this gender confusion.
Right,
thing.
And we've accepted it.
Yeah.
And we're not pushing back against it. Well, okay, you know, if those guys want to do that, fine. Till they start coming in and start telling the church to do, you're going to stand up then? Are you going to stand up when you're... four-year-old says, your four-year-old son says that he thinks he's a girl, you're going to go with that? When he's 12, are you going to let him go with that? Are you going to let him go with that when he's 16? How are you training up your family right now in that they would not go down that path? That's crazy to me.
But praise God, there are going to be Joashes and Gideons that are going to stand up.
Wow, that's a...
call of God.
That's a father's heart
fathers
returning to his
sons, Malachi.
Ooh.
"They'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest they come and strike the earth with a curse."
So it's not... this is a principle that is carrying through.
Here it is, right here in Judges.
I like it.
So I think, Pete, as we wrap this up today... We should pray for... there are people out here listening to this right now that are the Gideons of this day.
Ooh. You think yourself as an unlikely listener?
Man.
I know I did.
Mighty man of valor.
Mighty man of valor.
Go in this might of yours.
But, you know, and that's the other thing, too, is that when those words come upon you to speak that over others, don't hold back.
Right.
You may not see what the Lord sees.
Right.
But he's giving you instruction to obey what he's telling you to speak. So I would say speak it.
Or you might see it in the spirit then speak it. Or you may not see it at all. But you will, when the word of the Lord is released.
Yeah.
I mean, look at this. Of course, next time we're going to see this mighty victory. But right now, we just want to pray over you, listeners, and just let this word permeate into your heart and your spirit.
Yes.
Father, I just thank you for the people that are listening to this message today. Yes. Mighty men, mighty women of valor,
yes,
that are out there.
Yes,
Father, I just ask right now that you would put in their hands the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, that you would give them for their other arm the shield of faith, that will quench all the flaming darts of the evil one. And those that have been beaten down and pressed down by these Midianites and by these false gods, we declare a raising up today to oppose and to resist that tyranny.
Yes, Lord.
And to deliver into the hands of the children of God the freedom and the liberty that Jesus won when he died on that cross, when he shed his blood. We declare that the enemy's hold is broken in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And that these are liberated and set free to begin to liberate and free others. We thank you for this, Father. And we pray it in Jesus' name.
Ooh.
Amen.
Amen, Doc. Wonderful.
Amen.
Well, it was good to be with you. You can get all of our material and contact information at heartofthefather.net. And don't forget about our free offer, So You Want Revival? Doc, wonderful book. We are offering that to you for free. You can call or write into Heart of the Father or send us an email, info@heartofthefather.net. Tell us that you'd like the free offer and we'll send it off to you.
God bless you.